Hello, friends. Welcome to the Life is Hard, God is Good podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Larson, and I am so excited. Today we're starting the new series about how Jesus changes lives. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come." And Jesus does that with anyone who gives their lives to him. He makes us new. And today, I'm so excited. Our very first interview we have is with the Dustin Viers. He is a very dear friend of mine, and he's actually living in a different continent, a different time zone. So it's great that we're able to connect and that he's willing to share his story today. So Dustin, thank you so much for being here. It is an honor to have you on the podcast.
Absolutely. I'm super excited and a little bit nervous, but I think we'll make it through. But yeah, I'm excited to be on here and be sharing my story. Looking forward to it.
Awesome. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, what you like to do?
Yeah, so as Rachel said, my name is Dustin. I am from a small town in Michigan. I loved football growing up. I played that. It was my favorite sport. And kind of defined myself as an athlete. I would say that being an athlete was a large part of my life when I was younger, going through grade school and high school. And, you know, that was a large portion of my time I spent doing that. And that allowed me to really focus on myself and kind of do what I want and, for the most part, only think about myself. And, you know, that caused a lot of selfish things. But I would say, you know, I've grown a lot in my life. Life now is quite different. Obviously, I'm not an athlete anymore on the football field, but I really enjoy doing CrossFit. I've competed once so far. And it's something that I do almost every day, as often as I can. I'm really into working out, and CrossFit is just really dynamic, and that's something that interests me since not being able to compete in football anymore. But on top of that, I think the most important thing is service and being surrounded by great friends, a great community, a lot of people that I really love and that love me, and God has placed me in such a great spot to have all of that around me. So I'm super, super happy and thankful for that.
That's beautiful. And can you tell us a little bit about your life before you knew Jesus?
Yeah, so, geez, going back to even from grade school, like middle school, and even before that, I was kind of a troublemaker.
What, you?
A class clown.
No.
Yeah, me. I guess a little bit of that stuck around, but I was definitely known for being a troublemaker in school. I'd be in detention a lot. I would get sent out to the hall and have talks with my teachers. Kind of a little bit of a class clown. And it got to the point, I would say, in middle school, really, where my closest friends, I would consider my best friends at the time, were not the best role models. Some of them played sports that I was in. Some of them were football players. Some of them even wrestlers, because I also wrestled in high school, a little bit in middle school. But some of them were in the sports, and that's kind of how I knew them. And some of them, you know, didn't play the sports. And it kind of revolved around the things that we could do to get in trouble, you know, kind of the not good things. So even starting in middle school, as a middle schooler, I was hanging out with the wrong crowd and getting involved in drinking, even smoking, and sneaking out and, you know, stealing money from parents and things like that, just to do the things. You know, we didn't have jobs, and so it's kind of all involved in that kind of negative world. Get into arguments with my parents a lot, just about the authority, and really just living with a self-centered lifestyle, really. My mom always told me that I was selfish, and I didn't like to listen. I didn't like to clean up my room. I didn't like to do chores around the house, you know, help in any way. And yeah, like I said, I just lived a life that was very centered on myself, my desires, my goals, my friends, my fun, you know, all of that was thinking about myself.
Yeah. And then, so what caused the change? Like, why did you choose Jesus? If you had all of this going on, why would you want Jesus?
In high school is when I started to kind of turn things around. I was in a long relationship. The relationship ended up being about 2.5 years. That was between sophomore and junior year, around that time. But during that time, I met a girl, and we became really close friends. I knew that she was religious. I don't think I would have defined it as that at that point. It was like a goody two shoes kind of person, I think is how I would describe it at that point. And I did know her family was very respectable, and that I was not exactly the best person in the world to be accepted, I guess, by that kind of person, if you will. So I met this girl, and we became very close. And, you know, after getting closer, she decided that it was time to share the good news with me. I think it was something really scary for her she was worried about, you know, like coming out wrong, you know, all the things that we worry about now. And it just so happened that it's something that I had never heard before. I can remember the night very, very specifically. We were on the phone, and, you know, she starts telling me about things like evil spirits and Satan and how real he is, and even about God. It created a sense of fear, but also a sense of supernatural peace that I hadn't felt before when she started telling me about God and kind of his character, and that he has power over these evil spirits, and he has power over Satan, and power over that fear that I was just introduced to. That was my initial, that was the night that I had first been told, hey, demons are real, Satan is real, God is real. And I was kind of like, you know, scared. But I think that is when things started to change. And, you know, we had more conversations, and I began to have a lot of questions. And she answered, you know, every question that I had. So it was a real genuine interest right from the beginning, right from the moment she shared with me. And so time goes on, and I had a friend that was at school, and two friends. They were brother and sister, and their father was a pastor at a local church. And so that's kind of the reason that I started attending this church. And I started going with a friend, and, you know, learning more, feeling more conviction, realizing that my life does not align with the things that I was learning about Jesus, you know, his character and things like that. And not too long into attending church, I actually responded to an altar call. And so I think that this is the moment that I decided to accept Jesus into my life. I remember very specifically, you know, I can't remember the date, but the time when this happened, and the pastor was at the end of a message, and he asked everyone to close their eyes and bow their heads, and began to pray over us. And he prayed things like, if you are ready to give up control and ready to, you know, leave things behind, and he had us actually raise our hands. And so I raised my hand, and he went on and ended up inviting those who had felt that, or those who had raised their hands to, and essentially chose Jesus in that moment, had them come up to the altar. And, you know, now that I've gone to church, this seems like really basic, but it was a supernatural thing to me. Like, there was no thought process. It just happened. It just kind of happened to me. And so I went up to the front of the altar and was met by an elder who gave me a Bible and a reading plan to begin reading in John. And yeah, to this day, I can't really explain how, you know, what prompted me to get up. It was just because my life, my whole life was centered around myself. I had no interest in this before, but there wasn't any knowledge of it. And so, I don't know, the Holy Spirit, you know, came into me that day and had me go up there. And so, it was something that I didn't plan. When I woke up that morning, even when I walked into church that day, I had been to church several times before that. But over time, I began to continue to attend church and learn more about the character of Jesus and his sacrifice, and began to really see how much I didn't deserve it, and how different my life was, the life that I was living, was compared to Jesus. And I, as I said before, I was in the, like, in the middle of a 2.5 year relationship at this point. I was about 16, when it started. I was actually before, I was younger than 16. I was about 15, and it ended sometime around 17 or 18, I think. But I actually, you know, started this relationship before I was saved, and it was founded on worldly things. I lost my virginity when I was 16 in that relationship, and had no real sense of the weight of that or any of the other decisions I was making. And so, yeah, I started to learn more about Jesus and see just how different I was compared to him, and how he was calling us, what he was calling us to be. And I just couldn't comprehend how the person I was loved so much that Jesus would die for me. My mind couldn't comprehend that. And I knew that the least that I could do was relinquish control of my life and my path and my desire to fill myself with the world and what it has to offer, and accept that free gift that Jesus was offering, and the very thing he gave his life to give me, in that peace. And so a few months later, after that altar call, I contacted the church to get about getting baptized. And at that point, it was only a few months later after that, and I got to invite my mom to my baptism, and at that point got to share a little bit of my story of, you know, kind of what has happened in my heart. And I think it was really unexpected for my mom. It was still very early on in my relationship with Christ, and so there wasn't a whole lot of fruits yet that were evident that I was changed. But I knew in my heart that things were different. I mentioned that I'd lost my virginity, and so, you know, over time, it wasn't cut dry, the end of all things bad. As anyone knows, it's a process, but I was working towards that. I had really evaluated and realized that, you know, continuing to have sex doesn't, you know, though you can't live a sinful life and live a life for Jesus at the same time. And I was very conflicted with that. The shirt that I got when I was baptized, the church gave me a shirt, and it said "No Turning Back" on it. And I took that very seriously. And, you know, I knew that this wasn't a decision that I was making for the near future. I knew that it was a decision that I wasn't making for other people. I, at this point, realized I wanted to submit my life. I wanted to give my life, and I was living, and I have been living, for the wrong things all of my life up to this point. And so, as things progressed, I ended up, like I said, I got baptized, and I got to share a little bit of what God had been doing on in my heart at that time, even only after a few months, and sharing that I used to be just for myself. I used to be selfish, and I don't want to be that person anymore. I don't want to be the old me. And it was very peaceful to be able to say, I don't have to be that person anymore. I can be a new creation in God. And he tells me so. And so I began attending things like youth group and extracurricular church activities. There were several, you know, student things going on, and just began to meet more and more great people and felt more confident that I had made the right decision in choosing Jesus and following through with it. So as I'm meeting these other Christians and developing relationships with them, obviously my relationship with Christ is continuing to advance, and my eyes are being open more and more to, you know, all of the things that I've been doing wrong in my selfishness and the way that I lived my life and the sin that I was so entangled in. And, you know, it was difficult because it was stuff that I had never thought about before. I knew that some people had chosen to not have sex before marriage, but I didn't know why. And even my process of growing up wasn't, you know, that was kind of a glorified thing. And so that was all I really knew. And so beginning to learn things were wrong, I had a lot of changes. I, you know, started to talk to that bad group of friends less and less and became more disconnected from them. And even the relationship I was in, it was not easy. Like I said, I was in that relationship for 2.5 years, and that was all I knew at that point in my life. And mm-hmm. So that was a very scary thing to leave. And there were several times where I was on the verge of breaking up with her because I knew it wasn't a relationship that I could keep being in. I knew it wasn't a relationship that I could progress in my relationship with Christ while still being in that relationship. It was holding me back. It was calling back to the old me. And there were several opportunities where I just couldn't do it. And so after kind of sharing that with some of the close friends and having prayer over me and praying myself, I ended up finally letting go of that relationship. And that was really when things started to snowball. And, you know, I felt free. I felt that I could really submit my life to Jesus, and I had no one to be accountable to the old me for. Mm. You know, I'm not seeing those old friends anymore. I'm not in that bad relationship, and I felt that I could start over.
Mm.
I felt that I could really leave everything behind and start over with this new life with Jesus.
That's awesome. Okay, so how have you seen through the years, like, your relationship with Jesus continue to grow and how he's continued to shape you as you, like, cause you, that was like in high school that you chose him. And then how has that continued to blossom through these recent years and like currently?
Yeah. So at 26 now, life looks a lot different than that 16-year-old kid in high school. And so over the years, I've just only fallen deeper in love with Jesus. And, you know, there was kind of a gray area in college where it was a difficult time. I'm still trying to figure out who I am. And I was regularly attending church, a local church that I found in Valpo. So I moved from Southwest Michigan to Northwest Indiana, attended college there, and got connected to a church very quickly, but wasn't even as involved in the church here as I was back home. And on the summers between the years in college, I would go back home, and I actually joined a Bible study that was at my home church. And by my junior year, the summer before my senior year, the Bible study was really good, and I loved the friends that I had met in that study. And I was about to go back to college for my senior year, and I was like, wow, I really love this. I don't want to leave this. How can I incorporate this into my time while I'm at school? And so I even thought about things like, I'll come back every week so I can meet with you guys. But I knew that that really wouldn't work, and so I needed to get something else. And they actually connected me with one of my really good friends now. He had just moved to where I was going to school and got a job, and they knew him. So they connected me with him and were like, hey, what church do you go to? And he's like, and I was like, I ended up going, we go to the same church. And so we started to attend church together. And we ended up joining what we called life groups. And it was kind of a Bible study, kind of a friend group all in one.
Life groups,
I'm sure a lot of people
yes.
know what life groups are, yeah. And so that kind of progressed into that. So my senior year of college, I was in a life group. And once I graduated, I realized I am ready to go even further. I'm ready to give my life in service. And very early on in my testimony, I heard a song that I wanted to model my life after, and it was called Let Them See You by JJ Weeks Band. It's not a super popular song, probably not a lot of people know it, but it goes something like, let them see you in me, let them hear you when I speak, let them feel you when I sing. Obviously I don't sing, but that would be a wonderful thing if they could feel me, feel him when I sing. But let them see you, let them see you and me. And I wanted to be just like Jesus. I wanted to be like Jesus. I was finished with being like Dustin. And so I was always striving to go deeper. And so after college, I was ready to hop in, kind of, because there's still a lot of spiritual warfare. There's still a lot of Satan in my ear telling me, hey, you're not ready for this. Hey, you don't have anything to add to anyone's life. And it was actually the life group that I was in while I was in a senior in college that there was a girl in there that had heard I was interested in serving in some capacity. And she was like, hey, I think that you would be a great fit for youth group, for student ministry, to serve as a leader there. And I'm like, yeah, okay. I had no prior experience with it before and was super nervous. Like I was, you know, was kind of listening to those lies and thinking that I didn't have anything to add to the young students' lives. But I took that leap of faith and, you know, really leaned into that calling of service, and wow, God has completely changed my life even more than I thought he could after growth and taking that first step into service. And that opened the door to so many other things at my church and has grown me in enormous ways that I have led several groups. I lead one of those life groups now, and I have shared the gospel with friends, with people I don't know, you know, people at work. That's a big one. But it's just, I like going back to that song. I want people to see Jesus. I want people to know him and me being used in that way. And so despite every day being a battle, you know, it's still a battle when you wake up to choose Jesus or choose your flesh. But I've developed and have the most amazing community around me now that give me the best and most beautiful examples of Christ's love and the fire that he has to know that he loves us and that he really cares for us and ultimately that he died to save us so that we could spend the rest of eternity with him. And I wouldn't have it any other way.
That's beautiful. This is so good. What would you tell someone who is on the fence about Jesus? They're not sure.
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say for someone, you know, whether you're someone who's not sure if my story is true, or it's true that Jesus would do such a thing, or that even that your life is worth it, that for someone to do that, or that you could see change, he has power over everything. And no matter what awful things we've done, and no matter how far you felt you've dug a hole in a life of sin that you could never be saved, Jesus saves. And I want my life to be an example of Jesus' works. And I've come so far. My life is so different now. I was in that position where I didn't think I was worth saving. I didn't think, you know, if you would talk to the younger me, you wouldn't think he was ever going to make any decision to become where I am at now. And none of that is attributed to me, because that Dustin is, you know, he was not good internally at all. Your family, you don't have to grow up in church. Your family doesn't have to know Christ. I know none of my family has submitted their lives to Christ. And so it wasn't something that I grew up around. So if you think that you can't be saved, or that you're too far, or it's just not cut out for you, I think giving your life to Jesus and choosing him is the best decision that you could ever make. And it's the best decision that I've ever made. And it gives a sense of peace in this life, to know that no matter what you do, you will always have someone there to love and forgive you. And so it gives that peace in this life, and it gives assurance in the next life that you will be spending eternity with that very person that loves you, and that very person that wants to have that close relationship with you and wants to know your heart on the deepest level possible. Mm. So if you're on the fence about Jesus, I'm telling you, it's the easiest and best decision that you'll ever make in choosing him.
Mm. Yeah. And obviously, I didn't know you before you knew Jesus. I just met you like a few years ago, which is crazy. It seems like it's been a lot longer. But the way that you serve and that you love others, like, you can see Jesus in the way that you care about other people and how you're always willing to help them out, whether that be with their cars or serving at church or giving a word of encouragement. And it's hard to imagine what Dustin was like before Jesus, because I just see the after effects and it's amazing. And so for people who aren't sure, like, oh, is Jesus real? I think the realest thing that we can see is how he changes lives, like how he completely flips someone to be new in him. And so it's really cool to see that and to hear your story about how he's done that with you.
Absolutely. I think it is kind of funny for all the people that have met me kind of later on down the road. A lot of them could never imagine and could never think that, oh wow, you were, you know, such a bad kid growing up, and you were involved in a lot of bad things. Like, truly, God has done an amazing work in me. And don't let this discourage you if your story doesn't sound as crazy or extravagant, because God is in every story, and every story is just as important as the next. Whether you grew up in church, or whether, you know, you were saved from, I don't know, an extremely bad situation, all story gives glory back to God, and he is the only one that deserves it, and he is the only one that I can account anything good for in my life at this point and throughout the whole process.
Yeah, that's good. Is there anything else that you want to share?
Yeah, if you're listening to this story and it's kind of sparked something, maybe you can relate to something, maybe you became more curious and had more questions, I really would encourage you to reach out to someone. Reach out to friends. Take that little leap of faith that you would be really scared to do. I would encourage you to take that. As I was stating before, I think it's the best decision that you could ever make, is to learn more about Jesus and develop that relationship with him. Or even if you've been walking with Jesus for a while, I think that community that I spoke of is essential to keeping that fire going, mm-hmm. and having someone to keep you accountable and find ways to grow deeper and seek out leadership roles and seek out service. I think it all revolves around service, and Jesus was our servant. He washed our feet, and he calls us to humble ourselves and do the same for our neighbor and love our neighbor. And so that is honestly what it boils down to for me. And so, you know, if you are at that point, I say take that leap of faith and ask that friend, or join a youth group, join a small group, join a Bible study, or, you know, if you're at that point where you're ready to lead or you're ready to serve, do it. Do it. It's going to change your life, and you're going to meet some amazing people. And ultimately, see Jesus' face when he comes back, and spend the rest of eternity with him. And there's nothing that'll ever be like that.
It's going to be the best day ever.
Best day ever.
So, Dustin, I just want to say thanks again for being on the podcast today. It's always great chatting with you, but it's also amazing to hear more about your story, and just thanks for your willingness to share that with others so that we can all learn more about Jesus as well.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me and allowing me to share, and I hope that this is encouraging to those who hear it, and that they can have their lives, you know, changed just as much, and Jesus has that power.
Well, friends, thanks for joining us today and listening to Dustin's story. I hope it's encouraged you as much as it has encouraged me. And if you want to stay connected with the Life is Hard, God is Good podcast, you can find us on Instagram at Life is Hard, God is Good podcast. You can join our Facebook group. Please share, rate, write reviews, and let us know how God is speaking to you. And stay tuned as we share more stories. Have a great week. May the Lord bless you and keep you.